you guys. You guys are awesome. We're all, everybody say, turn to someone and say, you're pretty awesome yourself. Yeah. It's kind of neat to be in a crowd of awesome people, isn't it? It's sure better than the alternative. Hallelujah. Wow. The Lord is good. I like them long lines, by the way, back there. You guys are okay. Y'all can just stay in line and take care of business. The Lord is good. Well, I hadn't got to preach in a couple of weeks, and I think the last message I preached was about mothers, right? Well, I'm going to talk about sons this morning. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm just going to kind of wade into this morning because it's been one of those messages that God's been developing in my spirit a little bit. And I want to kind of skip over maybe a lot of things I could go into to kind of get to the essence of what's in my spirit. You know, the longer I preach, the more I realize it's not so much what I say. It's actually what I believe, what's down in my spirit, what's in my heart, because I don't want to become, and I tried to avoid this over the years, to speak out of a place of doctrine or precepts that really are true, but I don't have really a revelation of that in my own heart. You know, I like to kiss a lot. Keep it simple, stupid, right? Do you still have any there this morning? How many like it? How many like the kiss part? Keep it simple, stupid. And Paul said that, you know, he liked the dumb and unlearned and ignorant people. And that's why he chose someone out from Muleshoe to preach. Because that's all they have in Muleshoe. we were born that way. We got shortchanged in the gene pool. In Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to get out of that pretty quick and go to book of Ephesians and also the book of Mark, chapter 4. It's a beautiful passage in the whole chapter 2 because it's really telling us about this Christ and how that everything that comes forth is from Him, and He brought everything to be subjected to Him. This man that became a little lower even than the angels suffered and died on the cross. And we know in Philippians it talks about how God exalted him out of his place of humility into a place of great honor. Christ, as we look at his life, we see that it's the essence of his spirit that speaks to us the loudest. See, in the kingdom of God, everything originates from the Father. And the Father is the source of everything that is and is to be. There's only one source. You know, the scripture even says that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way except through Him. So the Father God is the source. And at the very source of who He is, at the very essence of God, the nature of God, when the kingdom of God is revealed upon the earth, what it's really is revealed to the earth is the heart of the Father. It's a spirit. God is a spirit. Everybody say, God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when we look to the Spirit of God and we look at the genealogy the maturation of God's will being brought to the earth in completion, it's really a spirit being revealed, a spirit that we join up with to be one with. And it's when you do that, when you bring this thing back to the spirit, you begin to cut through all this peripheral stuff of the flesh. How many know the flesh is different than the spirit? Does that make sense? Flesh and the spirit are not the same, are they? In fact, it says that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another. Because the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit aren't coming from the same place. The mind of the spirit is coming from the heart of the Father. And everything that comes from the heart of the Father is pure. It has nothing in it that's been, we could say, it's been polluted at all, because it's the purity of God. It's the flesh that corrupts. The nature of man, the flesh of man, is a nature of corruption. I don't want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "You look kind of corrupt." So don't do that. But the nature of man is a nature of corruption, because man took that which God gave and perverted it. And in that perversion, or that interpretation of the natural, it tries to change the intent of the spirit. But in the kingdom of God, we see the destruction of this natural application and the revealing of the purity of the heart of God. And that's when we look at religion, we see religion is a structure that's been built around the spirit. But the structure of religion does not resemble, nor does it properly represent what's in the spirit. That's why the religious systems as we know it are in the process of destruction. Scripture calls it Babylon. Babylon is where we see the things of God and we bring it into the natural, try to bring it, translate it into the natural, and thus we pervert it and corrupt it. And it's the spirit of religion. But when the true spirit comes, it destroys the spirit of religion. It's called hair-lipping the devil. Because the truth, the light, will always expose the darkness. In fact, it goes on to say that we have become the sons of light. Everybody say, "I'm a son of light." You are the light of the world. And this light cannot be hidden. See, that which is birthed by God will not be stopped. It'll only be greater than what it was. Because the kingdom of God is not coming with the observation of the corruption of flesh. When most of us apply the kingdom, we inadvertently begin to equate that to what we've done or what we've built. But the kingdom has nothing to do with our works or with our efforts. Because the kingdom of God is not dependent upon your works and your efforts. It's dependent upon your relationships. Because the kingdom of God is not brought forth to the next generation by the effort of man, but it's brought forth by the communion of man. And I know that you may not be following me yet, and it's possible you won't ever make it through this service and follow me, but I hope you will. Because if I knew where I was going, I would tell you. I've got an ear that's listening right now. What's the Lord saying? Sometimes the Lord will make you look like a total fool just so he can reveal his will. I How many have ever been caught in that? But see, when we remove this corruption of the flesh, on the other side of the veil, we find this powerful impression of spirit that reveals the peace and joy of God. That's phenomenal. See, if I could just strip away everything that's interfering with the spirit, then what's left is this wonderful creature that's filled with peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because when we become this thing that God's called us to be, what's God calling us to be? He's calling you to be a son. And it said in Hebrews, it said that he's going to bring, verse 10, many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. In the process of creating sons, God takes us from this place of being orphaned. You know, when you have a spirit of orphan on you, you're in trouble. Because the spirit of an orphan is a spirit of estrangement, separation. And ever since the beginning of time, beginning of man, there's been this alienation from God. And the whole plan of God since that moment has been one goal in mind: to bring man back to the place of oneness, so that he would not feel no longer the sense of abandonment and loneliness, isolation and alienation, but to bring man back to this place to where once again he's connected to a father. Because in the process of being orphaned, or the manifestation of being orphaned, it manifests all types of defeat in our life. When we move into the spirit of sonship, we move into the spirit of acceptance and love. See, if I can feel that God really loves me and really accepts me, then I lose my apprehension of approaching him in my time of need. What keeps me away from God is when I have a sense that I have no unity with God or communion with him. And so consequently, I take him out of the place of being this God that loves me and accepts me to being this God that judges me and criticizes me. An orphan is always looking for the back end of the father. But a son is always looking for the embrace of the father. When you come into the house of God, the one thing you ought to feel above everything else is that you ought to feel embraced by his presence. You ought to feel yourself filled with his love and his forgiveness, with no condemnation. Orphans always feel like they're coming up just short of the mark. But sons know that they don't have to reach a mark. They are the mark. Amen. There's a confidence in knowing who you are. Hebrews says it even, don't cast your confidence away, but be strong in who you are in Christ. I am a son of God. That's a truth, even when the lie comes, just tells me that, well, look what you've done. You've messed up. No, that's a lie. I'm son of God. Well, don't you want to take responsibility for your problems? Not really. See, humanity keeps knocking each other down because we keep saying to our brothers and sisters, well, when are you going to do this? And when are you going to do that? And when are you going to become this? So we always feel like, oh my God, We're always sinning and falling short of the mark. But a son stands assured in who he is, not having to fear even his own lack, because the fullness of God is so great it overcomes all lack in him. God said, I'm joining you to become one with me. And to become a son to the Father. And the beautiful thing about the true Father Spirit is it literally creates a place for the sons. See, when I relate to the Father, he creates a place for me. Like Bill, great message last week, you need to listen to it. My Father's house, there's many mansions, there's many places to dwell. There's room for me there. See, most of humanity is caught up in this great conflict that's saying, there's no room for us. But the Lord said, there's room for you. Come ye, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. There's a place for you, reserved for you. God said in Ephesians chapter 1, he's chosen you. Everybody say, he chose me. Turn to someone and say, he chose you too. He chose me before the foundation of the world. It was in the very heart of God, even before it was in the heart of anyone else for you. It was in the heart of God for you. That even before the foundation of the world, he knew who you were. He knew where you'd be at this moment in history. And he chose you. He predestined you to be conformed to his image. That old flesh corruption just keeps trying to convince you that you're just worthless. And the church is even caught up in that. We just need to go tell the world how worthless they are, so they'll come to Christ. Well, what Christ they're coming to is the wrong one. Let me tell them that. Says that we need to compel them by the love of God to come in. Sure, they need to repent of their sins. But the moment they repent, they're forgiven. And the sin that they committed is washed away to be remembered no more. So why keep reminding them of it? It'll be by the love of God that the greatest harvest will come in this generation. It won't be by the corruption that man's created a religious system to bring harvest, because that harvest doesn't produce sonship. Because sonship eradicates the spirit of lack and need and brings us into the covenant of fullness and unity. The covenant that God created with Abraham. And we are sons of God by our faith in God, and we become sons of Abraham. We become fathers of many nations. We become a people that inhabit the earth, and the whole world will be filled with the glory of God. And that glory is coming through the individual believer. This joined together with him, becoming a conduit, so to speak, of his presence. Where is his presence coming from? It's coming from within us. Christ is in us. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. And these works you shall do, even greater works you shall do, and the signs and the wonders you shall do because of your oneness with him. I love this stuff. He chose you. He predestined you. He said he predestined you to adoption. Everybody say, adopted as sons as Jesus Christ. Man, I love the word adoption, because it means no longer am I an illegitimate child, a stepchild. I'm not a stepchild, Travis. I'm an adopted son. I'm part of a new covenant. That this covenant that says, now I'm going to write my laws and my word upon their heart. And out of their belly they shall begin to speak as oracles of who I am. Oh, Lord. Stir me up or something. See, the Father sent Jesus Christ to destroy the separation between God and man. Accept that He is the one that's come to reconcile you to the Father. You need to settle the issue with Jesus this morning, right now. You need to say, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice completely. And every estrangement that I have, all this orphan junk I've been going through, this stepchild mentality, this condemnation reality, all this stuff I've been going through, forget about it. Because of the blood of Jesus, I've been made one with the Father. Now I can say, Abba, Father, you're my daddy. Who are you, daddy? You're my daddy. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Say it, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. But see, the beautiful part about this whole spirit begotting is that the Spirit of the Lord keeps moving upon the earth today as it did in the beginning. And God's creating a whole generation of fathers to birth a whole generation of sons that can birth a whole nother generation. Because we don't even look, but now the Lord's saying, that awesome God is actually here in flesh. Ooh, He's in flesh. Where's the Christ? In flesh. It's easy. And see, religion doesn't bring Christ to the flesh. Religion leaves Christ hanging on the cross. Or in a stained glass window. Or in an eye in a book. Brings Christ. He brings a son manifested. This is son right now. But God that carry them. Generation is coming from spirit to spirit. That's why Paul said, I pray you be one in the spirit. Spirit will be in you. The spirit of God is in us. Man here after the flesh, he said, but I know you now. After your heart, which it means after your spirit. See, I might not like you if you know me in the flesh. That's why, you know, a lot of pastors say, because most people who get close to pastors end up leaving the church because they see all of his faults. Like old Travis here, Travis and I are pretty close, and I'm more than pretty close, we're real close. But Travis, I could just be me with him. So far, he hasn't shot me. But the biggest thing, I haven't shot him. Because even though we may know, we really know each other. Spirit. I can disagree with your flesh. You can disagree. When I stood up with Bill V last week and we stood here in each other's heads for a couple of minutes. Of spirit. I said, this is my DNA. See, once you establish oneness of spirit, it's never broken. Once oneness is established in covenant, it can never be broken. And that's what Jesus did for you. He established that through his death on the cross. And when you accept that provision and that gift that he gave you, then you've established a covenant with God that can never be broken. No man can steal that away from you. What can rob you of the love of God? Can angels? Can man, can death, can they steal the love of God from you? No! It will be stolen from you at all. It's forever given to you. Accept that. How much Jesus gave to you. You don't have to give up one inch to the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Cheryl and Joel, I feel like I'm drinking some of that wine in Italy right now. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm not getting to the message, but I got it, I think. See, that when the Son becomes a reflection of the Father, it's a connection that creates an inheritance. Christ broke down the separation to create the impartation of the Father. We want to one day be a church that says, when someone comes in, they say, "This is the heart of God." And since 1989, I've fought myself. I've had to fight myself. My battle has never been with anybody but me. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. My battle has always been me, because the biggest me battle I have is this. Will I keep allowing His Spirit to manifest in my life? In spite of my failure, in spite of the failure of those around me, in spite of what the religious system would tell me, will I continue to allow the Spirit of God to manifest in my life? How many times I wanted to pick up that corruption again and put it on so I could become something special. How many times I've had to lay down that old man and crucify it so that he could become something special. My old nature is like your old nature. It wants, it desires, it longs, it craves, it seeks its own position, its own edification, its own press. The spirit of a true son rejects, abhors that internal need to be edified. A true son only comes to edify, never to be edified. A true son only comes to give, never to seek. A true son only comes to provide a place so others can be edified. Then that sonship becomes fatherhood, because sons then begin to birth children with the same spirit, thus becoming fathers, thus creating a unique, peculiar people upon the earth that totally is unrecognizable to the religious system. Get this good, what I'm fixing to tell you. When Jesus came and he went to a manger, he was born as a carpenter in a manger to a lowly family. He introduced that moment, the kingdom of God, to the earth. When the church in this hour introduces the kingdom of God to the earth, it'll come in the same manner. None of what you see now as successful Christianity will be the true birthing of the kingdom, because it cannot be birthed by the ego and the pride and the self-exaltation of man and the corruption that we put on to create the image of God that we think it should be. Because the image of God cannot be corrupted, nor can it be duplicated by the mind of man. It has to be birthed as Christ was birthed in the lowest place of humility, without any trappings, without any illusions. I know this is radical, but they never accused me of being nothing less, right, Todd, than radical. I've been on a radical mission for 25 years because I know what it looks like when it's true. And I also know what it looks like when it's not. But I want to be a true son. Amen? I want to be the one, because when I'm orphaned in my spirit, and I'm... Stacy, you're back here. Reed, Bill sent me this, so I like it. the orphan spirit uses people as objects to fulfill goals. Those with an orphan spirit tend to use people as objects to accomplish their goals. Whenever we objectify people, we manipulate them with words, threats, and anything necessary to have our way and to control them. But mature people who walk in sonship don't use people. They serve and they release people to fulfill their destiny in God. Those with an orphan spirit have issues with uncontrollable anger. They have rage. They manipulate because they feel they must control people and their circumstances in order to fulfill their goals. It's because they have the lack of trust necessary in their Heavenly Father to guide and to control their future. When you're walking in the Spirit, you walk in such peace. You're free from all conflict. You don't have to control anything to make anything happen. You don't have to set up things so that people will make things happen for you. You just rest in who you are in God. And all heaven and earth moves around the axis of your position. Hallelujah. You all excited or what? No. See, an orphan spirit is those that is always trying to outdo others in the church, family, or their business, their denomination, because they receive their identity through being better than everyone else. But those who walk in sonship are constantly seeing how they can bless others, since they already have the affirmation of God in their souls. They want to freely share His love with other people. So let me ask you a question. Are you an orphan or a son? Huh? Those with an orphan spirit never have enough career success, enough material possessions, pleasure, or illicit relationships to satisfy the hole in their heart related to their identity. So they're always living, constantly striving to gain satisfaction through the use of various things or people in their lives. In many cases, they even take an inordinate dress code in order to be identified some way. Now, if you're a little inordinate in your dress code this morning, I'm not condemning you. I kind of like inordinate dress codes. But it's there's when we put ourselves in a place where we start crying out for attention due to our lack of self-esteem and fatherly attention, we're manifesting what it is to be an orphan. Because an orphan is always trying to find their identity by what they're doing in order to make someone else pay attention to themselves. But once the orphan spirit has been destroyed in your life through Jesus Christ, you walk in a quiet confidence in who you are. You don't have to prove anymore your identity. How many know it's very frustrating to try to prove your identity? I've been guilty. Because those that walk in sonship are so grounded in their Father's affirmation that they can be satisfied even serving in the background and can celebrate the success and the attention others receive. Because the void in their soul, I don't know, I thought that was a floater, but it was a spider. The void in their soul in my age, you don't know, sometimes it's a floater or a spider. Because we walk in abundance, we don't have to prove something. I mean, I like this, don't you? Tell Bill thank you for this. Yeah, I mean, I could have almost preached the whole message out of this. Orphans, when you feel like you're an orphan, you're constantly trying to push down that sense of alienation, loneliness, and lack of self-worth through constant work, going from one relationship to the next, physical gratification, narcissism, self-indulgence. However, the more they indulge in all that, the more addicted they become, and the larger the hole in their heart becomes. Because only the love of the Father can fill the deep emotional needs that we have. Those walking in sonship, they just bask in the presence. Hallelujah. Everybody open your arms and put your head back and bask in the presence. Lord, we're basking in your presence. Our hole has been filled. We don't have to fill up our hole with all this stuff. Lord, you're our supply. You're our bread. You're our life. You're all that we need in you, Lord. We just need you. We just need you to be Abba, Abba to us. Because we know that, Lord, our security, our life comes from one source, for you are the life of who we are. You are our source of supply. Hallelujah. And we want to become that to everyone around us. We want to be a living, walking, talking Son of God, manifesting the heart of love and acceptance, breaking down the walls of division that have separated men's souls, liberating them from the consequences of the corruption of the flesh, and bringing them into the glorious liberty that's reserved for the sons of God. Glorious. Everybody say, glorious liberty. Glorious liberty. There's glorious liberty in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your hands out just for a moment. Man, I feel His presence this morning. Feel His glory in here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bring your sweet affirmation this morning of who we are. And Lord, and I repent, Father, in my own mind for walking sometimes in the mentality of an orphan. Lord, let my mind be renewed to my relationship, to my identity of who I am in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I don't want to be walking in narcissism and self-indulgence and self-worth and self-edification. But Father, I want to walk in the self-assurance of who I am in you, so I can have the boldness of God within me. That Lord, that everything that happens through me is mighty, is powerful to the pulling down of strongholds, to the liberation of society and the liberation of nations. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. My connection to you, Lord, and let it be that same connection to my brothers and sisters, that we be one people with one voice, with one heart, walking together in one accord. And that anything we ask in your name, it shall be done, because we have your mind, we have your heart, and Lord, we have your will. And so we can ask anything in your will, and it shall happen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Your glory. blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord is good.